Good morning and welcome. Thank you. And we also welcome those that are streaming with us live this morning. We're grateful that you've chosen to be with us today. I want to share with you a few announcements while our choir is being seated. Let me call your attention, please, to the inserts that are in your bulletin. There's one there called Welcome Reverend Patty. As you know, Reverend Patty Williams is our new associate minister, and she will be with us next Sunday. She'll be introduced at all three services next Sunday. And her first Sunday to speak will be February the 16th. We wanted to give her a chance to unpack first. And so she'll be speaking on February the 16th. This is my invitation to you. My invitation to you is to write a note to Reverend Patty, even before she gets here. We'll have those notes presented to her as she arrives here this week. And just let them know that you're welcoming her to beautiful Minnesota and to Unity. It is gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I mean that with all my heart. It was gorgeous Minnesota, but also welcome her to Unity Christ Church. And just maybe just share a little bit about yourself. But we are an open and welcoming, inclusive community, are we not? So just welcome her and make her feel right at home. Give her a good old, almost said southern welcome, but give her a Minnesota welcome. Also, the other insert I'm excited about, on Valentine's Day, we have a Valentine's dance that night at 7:30. All are invited. It's a community dance. All are invited. And so we've got special dances for the children, special dances for the seniors, for special dances for all of us, but come and be a part of that. There's no admission required. We do invite you to bring an appetizer to share. We are excited about having a band. The Percolators are our band. Yes, the Percolators are our band. And we also have a DJ, so come and do your own individualized expression of percolating, okay? So... Also, our annual meeting is the other great topic I want to discuss this morning, and that is on Sunday, February the 16th at 1:30 here in the sanctuary. This is your opportunity to vote for the candidates that are running for our Board of Trustees, and also on the February the 9th, you have that opportunity to meet them. So that's February the 9th. They'll have a Q&A right here in the sanctuary following each service. Also today, following today's services in meditation room, is find out more about our Unity Prayer Chaplain program. You too can be a Unity Prayer Chaplain. And we have that information presented today following today's services. Also, you do not want to forget A Legacy of Song, which really is honoring the life and celebrating the life of Hiram Titus. That is on Sunday, February the 9th at 2 p.m. Tickets are on sale. This is an absolutely outstanding concert. And those of you that did not know Hiram, and I think most of you probably did, but perhaps some of you did not, an outstanding musician. He's not only left a legacy here at Unity Christ Church, but in my opinion, he's left a legacy in the Twin Cities and beyond. So come and honor his music on Sunday, February the 9th at 2 p.m. And then, of course, our movie night is Friday, January the 31st. And that is going to be hosted by Reverend Cher. And the name of the movie is What the Bleep Do You Know? And so come and be a part of that as well. Some of you may not know, but we do something called Kid Pack here. It's a program that supports Noble Elementary School, and we provide take-home a meal each and every. We coordinate it with two other spiritual communities, and each and every Friday they have a meal that they take home, and so they'll have a good meal through the weekend as well. There are many other activities that are happening here. I want to remind you that today at 1:30. Dr. Larry Caldwell will be presenting a program called 12 Points for Self-Health. So come and be a part of that. Our Unity Men's Group is an outstanding group. It meets this Tuesday evening. check all the activities here. You can always find what's happening at unitychristchurch.org. How are you doing this morning? I want to just, I love that laughter out there. Well, we are not singing totally to the choir this morning, but we're really grateful you're here today. Grateful that you were safe on the roads and that you got here. So let's begin our time together in prayer. Let's just go to that place within where we know and we feel God's loving presence this morning. We take that deep breath and we let go. And we give ourselves the gift of our time together this morning, so that we can open our hearts and open our minds to that divine presence within. Not only can we open to that presence within, but we also open our hearts and we open our minds to each other. Grateful that we can come together in spiritual community. And for that, we're grateful. So it's with great joy and appreciation that we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. Again, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Let's begin by affirming our affirmations. Our first affirmation is our mission statement. May we affirm that together. Together, we are an inclusive and welcoming spiritual community, transforming lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in every person. And now our vision statement. Together, we are a vibrant, loving, prosperous spiritual community. We invite all to be partners in the worldwide expansion of spiritual understanding and consciousness. Proving the power of principle affirmation for this lesson today. Let us affirm it together. Together, Christ is God individualized in me. Let's affirm that again. Christ is God individualized in me. Inviting our on-duty Unity prayer chaplains to please stand. If you'll look around the room, you'll see that these individuals arrived early. They held sacred space in this beautiful sanctuary. And they're here this morning to hold that sacred space with you, to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, a hope, a dream, a vision, by all means, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. I can assure you that it will be a blessing to you and a blessing to them. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our opening song for this series is God You Are, and we invite you to please stand. God You Are.
Of earth and sky.
Thank you, and please be seated. Unity is a positive path for spiritual living. We offer practical teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, prosperous lives. Unity is also an open and welcoming, inclusive community. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do here each and every Sunday morning is to acknowledge our guests. And as we do this, we remind ourselves that we were all first-time guests at one time or the other. So today, if you're with us for the first time, we invite you to allow us to honor your presence here today. We invite you just to take your courage in your hand. As I say, we're going to do nothing drastic here. Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. First-time guest or guests with us today. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That purple packet that you're receiving today tells you a lot about Unity Christ Church. It also has a welcoming CD in that packet that tells you what we're about. There's a pink card in that packet. If you choose to fill out any part of that card, turn that into our book desk, then we have a special gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you a very personal welcome. All of that is important. And yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you're welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Let's appreciate our guest. Also, we enjoy greeting each other. We do that with a handshake, a smile, a hug, namaste. We always ask before we hug. Let's do that right now. Your name again. Good to have you here. So if you did not get a chance to speak to the person you wanted to speak with, we invite you to join us for tea and coffee following today's service in our Friendship Hall. Our next song is one of my favorites, and it certainly ties in with the lesson today. We're going to invite you again to please stand and I Behold the Christ in You, number 65.
See?
I'd like to do this again, wouldn't you? And rather than I behold the Christ in you in your bulletin, if you feel comfortable in doing so, look at someone. Look at them. Because as you do so, you are, I can tell there's some discomfort going on out there. But as you do so, you know, you're not asking anybody to marry you, okay? You know, what you're doing is you're just beholding the Christ. That's what you're doing. Because you are the Christ. So behold it. Let's do that again, okay? And if you have to glance at the words, that's okay occasionally, but let's look around.
I'll feed you the words. Behold Christ in you. Here the life of God I see. I can see a great peace too. I can see you whole and free. I behold the Christ in you. I can see this as you walk. I see this in all you do. I can see this as you talk. I behold God's love expressed. I can see you filled with power. I can see you ever blessed. See Christ in you hour by hour. Christ in you. I can see that perfect one, led by God in all you do. I can see God's work is done. God's work is done. Spirit
with the reading of the daily word and the singing of Surely the Presence. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed for an additional 30 days. The word for today is grace. I accept grace with a graceful heart. Grace is woven into the very fabric of my being. It is the goodness of God at work in my life. I accept grace as the redeeming, uplifting, and transforming power of God working in and through me now. Grace is an expression of God's love, and I receive it every day with a grateful heart. I experience grace as a nudge to pay attention, as a second chance, an unexpected good, or better than expected outcome. When I allow room for God's grace, good blossoms in my consciousness. Forgiveness, generosity, and love come naturally, and I am blessed. Life is easier when I am open to God's grace, following Spirit's lead. I no longer paddle against the current, but flow with the stream of divine life. From Philippians, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word for today is grace.
Place. move into the silence and peacefully settle into this moment. We allow ourselves to rest comfortably, feeling fully supported by the chair, and invite any thoughts of this day to just drift away. In the quietness, we shift our focus to the sacred silence that resides at our core, aware of our oneness with the infinite Christ presence, feeling touched by this connection as we center in our heart space, recognizing that it is this Christ essence within each of us, infusing us with the capacity to live as love-centered beings, awakening our heart wisdom so that we can see with inspired vision the truth of the earth, of all humanity, and of ourselves, knowing that at the deepest level, we are connected to every atom of creation, that we have the insight to transform our inner perspective, to reconsider how we have classified ourselves, to release the judgments and burdens of our seeming inadequacies, and to replace them with awareness of our beloved uniqueness. It is this Christ presence that fills us, that is us, that holds the true vision of who we really are, and invites us in quiet moments to travel upward to a higher perch and see through divine eyes the preciousness of our being. And beyond that, to see the truth of all those around us. So as we move into the silence, let us meet the Christ, the divine presence within, to share a warm embrace and listen for the loving truth that is meant for us this day. As we gently return our thoughts to this time and place, we are grateful for the Christ presence that sees us from the highest place of enlightenment as the perfect, timeless soul and treasured being of the universe that we have always been, and invites us to view all others in the world from that place of truth and perfection. As we embrace our oneness, our connection to all that is, we lift the world to new heights of love and compassion, a place we have all been seeking. And for this Christ presence that loves us and unites us, we say silently, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
The selection that the choir is doing this morning is from the collection of fabulous compositions left to us from the legacy of our dear friend, Mr. Hiram Titus.
Just a reminder that you can hear more Hiram's music on Sunday, February the 9th at 2 p.m. Tickets are on sale in our garden court today. Also a reminder that mark your calendars for Valentine's Day. Come and be a part of our evening, which includes a community dance at 7:30. And also for those of you that would like to renew your vows at 6:30, followed by reception. For those of you that want to get married that day, I will marry you for absolutely free. You have to bring the license and your partner, okay? So that's the truth. So these jokes have nothing to do with today's lesson. This was an ad. wedding dress for sale worn once by mistake. That really resonated with some of you out there, didn't it? A Scotsman planning a trip to the Holy Land was aghast when he found it would cost $200 an hour to rent a boat on the Sea of Galilee. "Hoot, man," he said, "in Scotland, it wouldn't be more than $20 an hour." "That might be true," said the travel agent. "But you have to take into account that the Sea of Galilee is the water on which our Lord himself walked." "Well, at $200 an hour for a boat," said the Scotsman, "it's no wonder he walked." I'll get emails on that one, and that's okay. Okay. Wow, guess what? We're right in the middle of a series called Proving the Power of Principle. Proving the Power of Principle. We started 3 weeks ago, and the reason I selected this as a series at the beginning of the year is because we say every Sunday morning, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. We mean that with all of our heart. Also, we use a lot of teachings that we supplement our teachings with. Also, sometimes I think it can become confusing at times. What is Unity's teachings, and what are those teachings by Oprah, or those teachers by Brené Brown, or those other wonderful teachings that supplement these teachings as well? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing they're there. So I've decided that at the beginning of this year, we'd return to what I refer to, not basics, because I think basics means it's easy. For me, I return to classics. Classics. And these classic teachings are what we are about, the way I understand them as an ordained Unity minister, the way I understand them, and the way I believe that Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of our Unity, would have presented these teachings. And if you're not in alignment with these teachings, that is perfectly all right. You hear me? You know, if you say, "That doesn't resonate with me at all, Reverend Pat," they didn't resonate with me for years. You know, so just set them aside, as Emily Cady would say in Lessons in Truth. Just set them aside gently, and they may not be for you at this point in your spiritual unfoldment. So the first week we started was we looked at God is principle. We looked at that's the main premise of our teachings in so many ways, that God is principle. Principle, of course, is law. It is order. It is the principle of the rising sun and the tides and the fact that we breathe. That's principle. That's law. And we are grateful for that, are we not? I'm so grateful that I don't have to worry about each breath that I take at this point. You know, I'm really grateful for that. And at the same time, we also not only teach that God is principle, but we also teach that God is personal. God is personal, and we take this principle, this divine idea, and we personalize that through our own consciousness, of who and how we decide to personalize it. If I went around the room here and got your definition of God, it would be probably as many definitions as there are people out there. And still, it is a principle personalized by you, Now, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that principle is there, but I'm really grateful that I know this divine spirit in a personal way. Aren't you? I am grateful that I know this spirit as love. This spirit is peace. This spirit as comfort. And it is the fact that I know this spirit in a divine way that keeps me coming back. It keeps me coming back to my meditation time. It keeps me coming back to when I'm having a difficult challenge. I can know that God is my comfort. God is my peace. But I have personalized that. And you will personalize God as you understand God in your own unique way. The second thing last week was Reverend Shirley talked about this principle is everywhere present. She shared with us that her belief was this principle is everywhere present because, and it shows up that way in infinite possibilities. Infinite possibilities, this principle presents itself. So, because this principle, this idea, this presence is everywhere present. That means, as Mr. Eric Butterworth, Unity Minister, would say, there's no spot where God is not. God is everywhere present. And another name for spirit, as we teach in Unity, is something called substance. Substance is that thing that stands under manifestation. I like to think of it, this room is filled with substance. It's that invisible quality that stands under the idea. And so we, by another principle or another classic teaching we'll touch on next week and the next week, we, through the use of this, we can take and we can mold this substance. We can mold it as it appears in the outer world. That's right. We have the power within us to co-create. That's another name that you'll hear in Unity a lot. We have the power within us to co-create our life. We co-create. Think about it for a moment. How many of you have co-created things in your life? I bet you have. I look around the room. Yeah, you're driving that car for a reason. Yeah. How many of you have co-created relationships in your life? Yeah. How many of you have unco-created them? Yeah, you know. But we can do that. We can do that. We have that power within us. So that first one is God is principle. That second one is this principle is everywhere present. And the third one that we're going to talk on today truly ties into a story that I want to share with you. According to an old Hindu legend, there was a time when all men were gods. But they so abused their divinity that Brahma, the chief god, decided to take it away from men and hide it where they would never find it. Where to hide it became the big question. When the lesser gods were called to council to consider this question, they said, "We will bury man's divinity deep in the earth." But Brahma said, "No, that will not do, for man will dig deep down into the earth and find it." Then they said, "We will sink his divinity into the deepest ocean." But again, Brahma replied, "No, not there. For man will learn to dive into the deepest waters, will search out the ocean bed, and will find it." Then the lesser god said, "We will take it to the top of the highest mountain, and we will hide it there." But again, Brahma said, he will be sure someday to find it and take it up again for himself. And then the lesser gods gave up and concluded, "We do not know where to hide it, for it seems that there is no place on earth or in the sea that man will not eventually reach." Then Brahma said, "Here's what we will do with man's divinity. We will hide it deep down in man himself, for he will never think to look for it there." Ever since then, the legend concludes, man has been going up and down the earth, climbing, digging, diving, exploring, searching for something that is already within himself. Have you been there and done it? Are you still doing it? Yeah, I can. It's so easy sometimes to look for whatever we're facing in our lives outside of ourselves. It's so easy to go to that place where we go outside of ourselves. And even in prayer today, after being in this teaching for as long as I have, even in prayer today, I can immediately go, "Let us pray." Where does your mind go? Up, out, somewhere other than within. That's why we teach something called the three-column prayer. Christ within, God within. It locates it for us. Now, if God is everywhere present, of course God is within. And of course God is everywhere. And yet we experience that presence, that divine, within ourselves, within our heart, and within our mind. So the third principle is the Christ within. We're going to talk about the Christ. Let's look at how Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our Unity movement, in revealing word, how he described the Christ. Christ is the divine man. Jesus is the name that represents an individualized expression of the Christ idea. Pat is the name that represents an individualized expression of the Christ idea. You represent an individual expression of the Christ idea. It was the Christ mind in Jesus that exclaimed, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." This Christ presence was before you were even an expression in this life. That Christ presence is within you, expressing through you, as you. You are an individualized expression of the divine. That Christ presence is within you. Eric Butterworth, wonderful minister, written a classic book called Discover the Power Within, says, "Christ is not a person. It is not Jesus. Christ is to the degree of stature that Jesus attained, but as degree of potential stature that dwells in everyone." Christ is not a person. So let us say right now, Jesus Christ. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Someone asked me on break, what was Jesus' last name? But Jesus, during the time of Jesus, the name Jesus was a pretty common name. And so, but what happened was, Jesus became the Christ. Do you hear me? Jesus became the Christ. Just as what we are doing each and every time we do our inner work is we too are becoming the Christ. We are becoming the Christ in expression. We are becoming an individualized expression of that Christ. When we do our work, when we do our inner work, when we come to services, whatever we do, when we lift and we change our consciousness to a higher place of being, we too are becoming the Christ. I believe with all my heart that Jesus did the work very similar to the same way that we did the work. And Jesus had, in doing that work, had that revelation of, oh my goodness, it is not out here, it is within here. And I believe that Jesus came not to proclaim his divinity, but to remind us of our divinity. To remind us of our divinity. I don't believe that Jesus was asking us to worship him. He was showing us that what he did, we can do too. The Christ that was in Jesus, as it is within us. Jesus just seemed to do a much better job of expressing it. Have you noticed that? See, this is what I believe. I believe that the Christ presence, of course, was just as centered within Jesus as it is centered within me, as it is centered within you. That Christ presence is there, thank God. The difference is this. Jesus was more centered in the Christ presence. You get it? Christ presence, Jesus did his work. And Jesus would always say, it is not I that does the work, it is the Christ within who does the work. We cannot even breathe ourselves, can we? It is the Christ within who does the work. So, each and every one of us is divine. We are divine. Each and every one of us express it differently because we are that individualized expression of God. I know sometimes you meet people on the highway that's driving and you say, there's no way they're divine. There's no way. Just a reminder, you've attracted that person into your life. You've attracted that person into your life right there at the traffic light. That person that throws you something out the window, you've attracted it. It's yours, okay? So guess what, my friends? Everybody we see is divine. I am divine. How does that feel? Sacrilegious a little bit? Weird. Let's affirm that together. How weird can that be? I am divine. Together, I am divine. Ellen Davenport, in her wonderful book, The Five Principles, don't you look at your children? Those of you that have children, don't you look at your children and know that they are divine? Those of you that are in caring, committed relationships, don't you look at your husband, your wife, your partner, and know that they are divine? The father of your children, don't you look at him and know that he is divine? It's a challenge sometimes, I know. But each and every person is divine. Ellen Davenport, in her wonderful book, The Five Principles, she says, people who insist that humans are divine are often accused of thinking they are God. And the secret is, we are. How did that feel? Just as every tree is God in expression, just as every sunset, our newborn child or act of mercy allows us to witness the divine, we too are expressions of God on earth. We are the divine expressing in human form. At first, it may sound grandiose to claim it, but properly understood, the awareness of our own divinity is where we derive our comfort, our guidance, our strength for the human experience. Isn't that true? When we know God is within us, and we know this peace of God, we know God is peace and comfort, doesn't it help us to meet every situation that comes in our life? Yes. When we can never be separated from God, and we have only begun to tap the power of the human spirit. My goodness, in relation to evolution, we right here as human beings, we are about a day old. We are about a day old. And we have just begun to tap this potential within us. We are divine. This Christ presence is within us, and it's our responsibility to claim it. You know, Jesus came, and he says to us, you are the light of the world. He didn't say, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And he went on to say to some of his scribes, he says, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? These teachings obviously competed with some people, especially as the beginning of Jesus' ministry, after his death, after his resurrection, after his ascension, then needless to say, that teaching was out there, that we are divine. But about 300 years after he had resurrected and left this planet, so to speak, then they got into a big fight about, are you divine? Or is Jesus the only one that was divine? And there were, I don't know, I think I read about 800 people that came to something called the Council of Nicaea. It was 325. And it was the Council of Nicaea where they literally took a vote. People just like me and you. Well, maybe not just like me and you, but similar to us. You know, and they took a vote. And guess what? They won. They meaning that they said, you know, Jesus was the only one that was divine. Jesus was the only one. Now, those of you that came from traditional churches, you probably stand up and you proclaim that each and every Sunday, right? Many of you do. And many people that come into New Thought will say, I can't do that any longer. I can't do that any longer. Because you see, you are divine, I'm divine, Jesus was divine. You may be asking the question, well, Reverend Pat, if I'm so divine, and everybody out there is so divine, why are people behaving so badly? I believe that, as Emily Cady would say in Lessons in Truth, we're not puppets on a string. We have the choice. We can choose, right? We have that power of choice on how to choose. Okay? So sometimes we think that choices are made in a very bad way. And yet I believe, and yet I teach, that I believe each and every person does the best that they can where they are in consciousness at that time. Let me say that again. Each and every person is doing the best they can. Their actions are showing up the best they know how to show up where they are in consciousness at that time. If they could do any differently, they would. That's a hard one to swallow sometimes. Again, it goes back to Jesus was more centered in the Christ than often we are centered in the Christ. Another theory that's been given about why people behave badly is because of ego. Now, I don't want to put down ego. We need ego. We need ego in our life to function on this earth plane, do we not? But we come to earth, however we get here, we come to earth as a divine idea of God. We come into this existence and we build a body. And we have a body. And this body is our earth suit. We need this earth suit to function on this earth. We have this body. This body also, the mental aspect of it, we have something called an ego, correct? We have an ego. That ego, when it's healthy, we need that ego too. We need the self-confidence. We need what we need in order to exist on this earth plane. In addition to that, we have something called the soul. The soul has built the body. That soul, of course, is one with spirit. It's like those Russian nesting dolls that someone gave me. It's like the body, the ego, the soul, and spirit. It's not that the body has a soul. No. The soul has a body. You follow my thinking here? So the difference is this. Our ego, we want to put that under the direction of the soul. We want to put everything under the direction of the soul. We want the soul to do and allow us to do what we need to do, not the ego. There's a difference there. Have you noticed that? Use the ego, but don't use it without the soul. Obviously, as we end this expression of our life and we lay that body down, we lay the body down. That's why at every memorial service I say, I believe with all my heart, that the soul is ongoing. The soul is ongoing, surrounded by the love and the light of spirit. That soul is always ongoing. Some people would believe, I don't know how I stand on this, some people would believe that that soul goes and comes and reincarnates again and again and again. I take no stand on that. But I believe with all my heart that the soul is surrounded by the love and the light of God. When you come to, I'm going to do a christening this afternoon as I do often. When I see that baby, it is so easy to see the perfection of that baby, right? Let's try that one more time. Are you guys with me here? When I see that baby, it is great to see the perfection in that baby, right? Right. Okay. My invitation is for you to see the perfection in yourself, for you to see the divine within yourself. Now, we don't know what path this baby has chosen, right? You know, I know parents out there, aunts, uncles, ministers, everybody. We've got big plans for that soul. Big plans. You've already started savings account and college funds. That's wonderful. I'm not saying not to do that. But the important thing is that baby has a path to follow the same as you do. The same as you do. That baby is divine. And when you look at yourself, you see that you too are divine. Let's affirm together, I am divine. Together, I am divine. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Let's try it one more time. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. You want to awaken this Christ presence within yourself? Yes. To awaken it, become more aware of it?
Yes.
Do you know how to do it?
Yes,
you do. Yes, you do. You know how to do it. If you want to know that Christ presence within yourself, you've got to spend time with that Christ presence. If you want to awaken that Christ presence, you've got to spend time with that Christ presence. And of course, we teach that through prayer and meditation, another principle that we teach here. You spend time with it. And thank God right now this earth plane is on the place of evolution where many people are assisting us in awakening the Christ presence. There are teachers out there, there's books out there, there's television shows out there, there's things out there that help us to awaken this Christ presence. So your assignment this week, if you choose to accept it, each and every morning you get up. You do get up most of the time. Each and every morning you get up. You stand in front of that mirror and you look at it. And not with grandiosity, not with I'm better than everybody else, but you look at that mirror and you say, I am divine. I am divine. Claim it. Center yourself in this presence just as Jesus centered himself in this divine presence. I love you, I bless you, and I behold the living presence of the divine within you, and so it is. Amen.
You are the source and power.
That is a Judy Vinar original right there. Thank you, Judy. Thank you so much. And if you have many questions on your mind this morning about our teachings, I've done my job. Thank you, God. And if you, I would suggest that you also go to our website at unitychristchurch.org and look at our teachings, look at our beliefs and see what we teach. Spend some time with it as well, okay? Would you do that for me? And also, I know we talked a lot about Jesus this morning. Jesus is my friend. When I came into a teaching like this, I know, looking at the clock. When I came into a teaching like this, I thought, do I have to throw Jesus out with the bathwater? No. Get that. No. Jesus is my friend. And I can truthfully say, as I was having a conversation with someone the other night, Jesus is my Savior. Not because of his death on the cross, but because of his life that he lived. And he showed me how to live. So there's just a difference there. So, you know, next time you're walking down Mardi Gras, and you're walking down the street, and you see the person with a cross on their back, and they stop and say, brother, are you saved? And you can say, hallelujah, I'm saved. You know, hallelujah, I'm saved. Saved from you, and I'm moving right on. I'm just kidding. No. Oh, gosh. My board's going to fire me. Let's invite our... Yeah. I'm sure I'll get letters. So let's take a moment and let's center ourselves in this one presence, in this one power. We know this presence within as principal. We know this presence within as divine. And we know that we're one with this presence. We know this presence within as peace and comfort and health. We know this presence within as prosperity, as goodness in our life. And we know truly that we are the hands and the feet and the voice of Spirit. For we are truly divine. Let us affirm together our church offertory blessing found in your order of service. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. And we pray this in the name of the Christ presence. And so it is.
Is amazing. The sound is sweet. I felt saved. Now I'm free. I felt lost. I felt found. Maybe blind. Now I see.
So let's take a moment because we truly have the power to bless. We bless these tithes, we bless these gifts, we bless these offerings, and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission. And that's truly to transform lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in each and every person. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. a reminder that you have a beautiful blank piece of paper in there for a love note for Reverend Patty Williams, our new associate minister. She'll be with us next Sunday. You'll meet her next Sunday. As I said, she'll be speaking on February the 16th. We need to give her a chance to get unpacked, so she'll come and be with us, but she's with us this next Sunday. Also, I just want to thank each and every one of you that were able to make a year-end gift to Unity Christ Church, and I thank you for doing that. The board thanks you. We thank each other. Also, all of those that held this in prayer for us, we thank you as well. But I want to share with you that our year-end gifts this year came to $60,000, approximately $60,000. So, and I want to just touch my heart to see how so many people stepped up and said, yes, we want to support this spiritual home. Our board has we have many opportunities, many places to put that money. Do you know where I'm coming from? Do you have a home? Do you own a home? Then you know all about it, right? So this is the deal. Our board has prioritized that the first money spent out of that will be for a new flat roof that we need, first things first, and that we've gotten estimates from our executive director between $45,000 and $55,000. So we will not be asking you for a roof this year, okay? We have that money. You've given it. Thank you very much. There are other great dreams here that we do want to see manifested, and we want to see that manifested. So we may be asking for a mid-year gift. You never know, okay? So come and be a part of that. Let's stand up. Let's bring our children in. All is well. Let's bring them in.
We make a real effort to allow the kids to move, since that's what they naturally like to do. And we had a special guest today. Marlis McGarvey joined us for Qigong. Parents ask.
Yeah.
So parents, you have to ask your kids to demonstrate what we worked on upstairs from 3 years old to, I won't acknowledge, but older. It was a wonderful, wonderful moving experience. And we have another opportunity for you to move your bodies as a family. Our Valentine's dance is coming up. We're going to be teaching some family-friendly dances for kids and adults. So it's cold out. Come and join us, and we'll dance upstairs. Valentine's Day, February 14th. Thanks.
And don't forget the renewal of the vows. And if you want to get married, don't forget that, okay? Bring your license. Bring your partner. We'll marry you for free. But come and renew your vows, okay? Let us know together. The prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us wherever we are, and all is well.
We can tell our story and start to question.